The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
This is Grant Hughes with Pete
and Aaron.
Radio South for 96.4 and Coast Access Radio up in Kapiti. So coming to you from the bottom of the North Island and the South Island. Also on Spotify, iTunes, or just stream us on accessmedia.nz. Do it. Grinding Gears with Pete
and Aaron.
Radio South at 96.4 and Coast Access Radio Kapiti. It's New Zealand's Music Month, and that was Good Shirt, Buck It Up. This week, it's another state of the roads as a Northern airbag, Northern driver's airbags deploy after hitting a basketball-sized pothole.
Yeah, a Northland woman was shocked after her airbags deployed while driving over a cluster of potholes on State Highway 10 near Kerikeri.
Danielle Gordon, was driving in heavy rain on her way to an appointment with her three-month-old son when she found herself swerving. The lady told Stuff she heard a loud bang and thought she must have been hit by another car. It was that scary.
Yeah, she has no memory of pulling over in the immediate aftermath of the incident, stating, "The first thing I recall was a burning sensation in my hands and a pain in my right hand side. And then I saw the driver's door airbag had deployed."
Yeah. So realizing there was smoke inside the car, she climbed out the passenger door, retrieved her screaming son from the back seat. And unfortunately, Gordon wasn't the only one affected by potholes, which have emerged after the region saw 200 millimeters of rain. As apparently New Zealand roads turn out not to be waterproof.
Better than that. Yeah, Rob Edge, the tyre service director of Kerikeri, has a garage set up just up the road. And he said he has had a shitload of customers as a result. He estimates he's had around 30 vehicles visit him with bent or cracked rims. And, around half of them were too damaged to even repair.
said the rural has seen increased traffic, obviously, since State Highway 1 over the Mangamooka Gorge had closed, and we'll come back to that. But saying it's a constant thing on State Highway 10, and when it rains, it all turns to crap. One woman even said she'd hit the same potholes and the rims had gone square shapes.
Yeah, Gordon posted on social media trying to find out anyone who might have witnessed the accident. She was contacted by James Pomer, a truck driver who had reported the potholes the day before the Gordon's incident.
Pomer said he told Waikatai and Fulton Hogan the potholes had the potential to cause real damage. And apparently the holes were bigger than a basketball in size. That road needs a full attention and should be assessed on a weekly basis.
Now, it's been 2 weeks since Gordon had a working vehicle relying on friends and family to get her to her appointments. And she hasn't really been confident enough to drive herself again. And it tenses up whenever she goes past or even looks at her bump in the road.
Yeah, Gordon and her partner are waiting for results of an application for compensation they've made to Waikatai and contractor Fulton Hogan. But, yeah, a Waikatai spokesperson actually says contractors were generally required to repair potholes within 48 hours of it being reported.
Yeah, they stated, in some urgent situations, damage is expected to be repaired within an hour. And that's just where practical. Well, we have to call Bullpucky on that one. And And as some icing on the cake, Fulton Hogan's spokesperson disputed the companies responsible for the damage to Gordon's car.
You were contracted to build a road, right? You didn't build the road properly despite extraordinary amounts of money paid, right? And now you dispute compensation because potholes caused by your substandard work have caused damage and trauma, right?
Yeah, Fulton Hogan's response was, we have contractual obligations to maintain the state highway network in accordance with the contract terms. We're not aware of anything that suggests that Fulton Hogan has failed to do that or is in any way responsible or liable for the existence of these potholes or any damage suffered.
The spokesperson said the company would reconsider if it could be shown it had been at fault. Anyway, they've gone saying it's unfair that she had recently paid for a warranty registration to ensure her car was safe for the road, but the road wasn't safe for her car.
Seems to be the new saying here. Gordon also said buying a new car is not going to be a possibility for her in the foreseeable future either, saying she's sadly been living in emergency housing after losing $3,600 in a reported rental scam.
Yeah, all right, poor lady. Now, back to the aforementioned Mangamooka Gorge, and after heavy rains in the far north caused significant damage again in August 2022, the main state highway to Kaitai will be closed for at least another year from now as workers clear 15 major slips.
The ongoing closure of state highway ones means losses for businesses, extra freight costs, and a huge inconvenience for those trapped either side of the closure, said Kaitai Business Association's Andrea Panther.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, she reckons it impacts every single person. It doesn't matter what age you are, either in time or money. Despite fears the highway could be permanently closed, though, Waikatai secured $100 million in December 2022 to fix the route.
Yeah, slip work began in late February, and Waikatai revealed late last week that the work will be finished in May 2024.
Well, it's just bloody hope Fulton Hogan isn't the contractor of the dodgy buggers. Project Director Norm Collier said the work involved using 700 piles to fix 15 major slips, and some are actually up to 3 stories high.
It may be possible to partially open the route to Christmas holidays, he said in a social media update, but this was later retracted.
In an update email, Waikatai acknowledged the impact the closed gorge was having on travel for work, school, businesses, and connectivity, so that motivates them to actually get it done.
Yeah, Panther said it was disheartening the community would have to wait another whole year for the key route to reopen, stating, I don't understand why they can't open one lane like all the other state highways, and went on to say it's really disappointing for lots of people.
Yeah, well, this is the second time the gorge has had a major closure in as many years. And there was apparently a 1 in 500-year storm in July 2020, which closed the road for a year. The slip repairs costing $16.2 million to fix. And they've just been given another $100 million, so it might have been cheaper to build a frickin' bridge or something.
Yeah, the detour on State Highway 10 through Kerikeri can add up to 30 minutes to an hour extra on your trips and diverts traffic away from particular businesses who are probably feeling the effects of, like, from COVID.
Yeah, well, exactly. And whose fault are unfixed potholes? No, it's a good question, since everyone's blaming everyone else and no one wants to, you know, accept responsibility, government agency or contractor.
Yeah, in October, a woman and her toddler waited for 2 hours for help in the dark and rain after getting two flat tyres when their car hit a pothole on a stretch of highway near Tauranga. I think we covered that.
I think we did. In the same month, National Party launched a Pothole of the Week campaign, asking the public to send in pothole pictures. So each week we will highlight the worst pothole with the aim of getting the government to sort the issue. This is from National's transport spokesperson, Simeon Brown. He also accused the government of neglecting basic maintenance of roads, despite National actually not doing any better when they're in power.
Yeah, potholes on the increase? That's a good question. And whose responsibility is it to fix them? On average, the old Waikato Kotahi contractors fixed 2,750 state highway potholes a month over the year to June, while the total number of potholes in existence isn't available. The number of people applying to Waikato Kotahi for compensation from pothole damage has risen.
Yeah, that's what we bloody pay tax for. So in questions to, in answers to questions from Simeon Brown, Waikatai said there'd been 555 applications for compensation due to damage caused to a vehicle for 2022. That was just up to October 7th. That included a notable jump in Taranaki region from 40 to 127.
Waikato Kotahi maintenance contracts specify potholes on state highways need to be fixed out at least temporarily within 2 to 4 days, depending on size and location. Funnily enough, the data of exactly how long it takes to fix these potholes is not actually recorded.
But permanent maintenance needs to be done when it's warm and dry, making it very difficult, with only really a small window over the summer months. Permanent repairs are also not done over Christmas and New Year's, basically to prevent added congestion during the peak travel season.
What could take better plenty systems manager Roger Brady said in October that pothole numbers were much higher this winter than previous 3 years. This was due to a combination of current network conditions and the wet winter. One example on State Highway 29 was repaired the day a pothole was made, but broke up almost immediately because of, bad weather.
Yeah, what are these guys using, dirt? Probably just grab with some asphalt on top to smooth it out. That'd probably last longer. Anyway, the maintenance of New Zealand's roading network is just the responsibility of one entity.
Yeah,
make it more complicated.
Yeah. Waikato Kotahi takes care of the state highway network, which covers about 11,000 kilometres of fully sealed roads.
The remaining 83,000 kilometres of the country's network are local roads, which are the responsibility of local councils. Could the official have made some of the roads here in Lums and actually worse. But the State Highways Network purpose is to move goods and people around the country. Local roads are regionally specific with the intention of moving goods and people around the region.
Local roads include almost all suburban and inner city roads, as well as majority of roads in rural areas. 80% of local roads network is rural, and only 61% of that distance is sealed.
Now, because of your politicians, both accuse the other of underinvesting in the roads. In our opinion, it's both their bloody faults. The state highway network is the government's problem, and with another wet winter making more potholes and harder to repair, motorists have been on the receiving end of more than just the usual amount of pothole damage.
However, it's not all central government's problem. Local governments and all other authorities look after the vast majority of the roads, and coupled with a wet winter, the council repairs will also have their hands full this summer.
Maybe that's where the rates are spiking again. We haven't heard of the cost of living crisis yet. Anyway, we'd better play some Kiwi music and BRB with Tesla Time. Ever spent 6 months in a leaky boat? Well, it's Pete.
And Aaron.
Right here, right now, I'm grinding gears. No boat in sight. Radio South at 96.4 and Coast Access FM in Cavity. It is Tesla time now, and they haven't made a boat yet either. The company is shipping another batch of vehicles from China to North America. There's a second ship, apparently packed with all electric cars built at Gigafactory Shanghai. Is that on its way to Canada?
Yeah, it is a move that further shows Tesla's strategy to send vehicles from Shanghai to the Northern American market. It may be proof of further shipments from China to Canada.
And late April, Reuters reported that Shanghai-built Tesla units would make their way to Canada. Musk said reports of the company shipping cars from China to the U.S. were false in a tweeted response. It's probably just moving forward shipments to Canada.
Yeah, however, and the April reports were proven to be accurate, with both Model 3 and Model Y vehicles made their way to a port in Washington State on the 1st of May.
Logistics records showed the vehicle came from a port in Shanghai. An image is shared by the ship tracker Morton Lund revealed both all-electric mass-market Tesla cars were present.
Yeah, now Lund has confirmed that a second ship carrying Tesla vehicles has left Shanghai, and it's on its way to Canada, packed with vehicles that were built at the Chinese factory.
Reasons for Tesla shipping these vehicles from China to Canada ultimately caused plenty of room for speculation, but it's likely just the tax credit rules from something called the Inflation Reduction Act, God knows, have a lot to do with it.
Tesla is likely keeping US-produced vehicles within the border and selling them to US-based customers to take advantage of the tax credits that make cars more affordable.
Well, US-produced EVs do receive an additional bit of money off through tax credits, which means Tesla is prone to ship vehicles from China to Canada to actually handle the demand there.
Yeah, Canada is also a $5,000 incentive through IZEV program. And it does not favour local production for consumers to receive it. Instead, it is given to any person who buys an electric vehicle, basically regardless where they're built.
Yeah, well, a second ship heading to Canada from China seems to indicate Tesla is planning to use this strategy more often. Hopefully we'll get all these replacement Teslas sorted too. Like some we've pretty much covered over the past few years, eh? Well, that's us for this week. Cheers for listening in, and remember, don't be a dick, make it click.
I sat alone this morning, and I heard what the birds had to say. I thought of the people in my life, and all those who have flown away. Oh. Revelation came, it said, live life for today. It could all be gone. down tomorrow. Yeah, nah. Ooh, 'cause it could all be gone tomorrow. Tomorrow.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.